preciosa, mi gente.
Live from the Angel of Words studio. Ya tú sabes, estamos aquí. Representing East Harlem, Puerto Rico. Kicking off the Boricua Excellence Parade. The Puerto Rican Day weekend from East Harlem. Singing the revolutionary Puerto Rican anthem. We have Mr. Mark Rain.
Whip, I shout out to Angel of Words Entertainment for giving me this space, you know what I mean, for honoring and blessing me with this opportunity to sing this very historical song for our people. This is the original national anthem for the Puerto Ricans, for Puerto Rico. And ya tú sabes, we're gonna do this. Let's go. Despierta, borinqueño, que han dado la señal. Despierta de ese sueño, que es hora de luchar. A ese llamar patriótico, no arde tu corazón. Ven, no será simpático el ruido de cañón. Nosotros queremos la libertad, nuestra machete nos la dará. Vámonos, borinqueños, vámonos ya. Que nos espero ansiosa, ansiosa la libertad, la libertad, la libertad, la libertad, la libertad. ¡Que viva Puerto Rico libre!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Angel of Words podcast, where your stories are heard. And in this episode, you're going to learn about the cultural and musical significance of the Puerto Rican Day weekend. We're also going to get into how to choose your music for your social media posts, how to build your social media, and how to choose your music within your social media. Now, don't forget to tap on that subscribe button. Follow us on all podcast platforms, especially Spotify, because you know they take care of us. Also, our sponsors today are OTW Threads, reminding you to be out of this world, and attitudeon10.com, your place to start getting over your trauma and build resilience. The podcast training videos will be out soon, so don't forget to go to www.aowent.com to sign up for your training so you can make a dope podcast in just one day. And also, the affiliate links will be in the description so that you can go and get the tools that you need in order to start your dope podcast in just one day. Now, on deck, on the Angel of Words podcast, we have thespian filmmaker Mark Rain. We have East Harlem in the building. Yeah. You already know, baby, that's where I'm from. That's where our guest is from.
What it
East
is.
Harlem in the building. El Barrio.
El
Spanish
Barrio.
Harlem. Whatever AKA you want to use. We're in here today. We're going to be discussing it. You know, the Puerto Rican Day weekend is a very critical part of it. You did something absolutely spectacular the year that they dubbed it because of the coronavirus pandemic.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk about it, man. How did that come about? Because you had like every Puerto Rican social influencer I could think of right now in that situation. How did you guys get wrapped up in that? And why is that? Why was that so important for you guys to do?
Man, first I want to say thank you for having me on the show, man. Shout out to AOW. This is beautiful. This is official. This is professional. This is Latino excellence. You already know.
Oh, man. Thank you so much. And, I appreciate that.
You know, we opened the bar. That's what it's about. And man, so much to say. You know, that was now going on 3 years ago. You know, to think it's kind of weird to think that the pandemic was even that much time already, you know. Shit came and went. And you know, that was strictly like from the divine impulsive, you know, because, you know, they, like you said, they dubbed us, right? They said, well, we're not going to have the Puerto Rican festival or the parade this year. And we weren't given really clear answers as to why. We just had to kind of imagine it was because of the pandemic, right? But what was interesting was that then they had the Pride Parade 2 weeks later in the same month, in the same borough, you know? So it was like, whoa, like, they're not canceling that, like, did coronavirus take a break or something? Like, what's going on? Or was it just, okay, once again, you know, fuck the Puerto Ricans, you know, and excuse my language, but,
yeah,
you know, that's ultimately what it felt like, you know, and that's not new for us, right? We've been hit too many times to mention in this one podcast.
Yeah, disenfranchised a bunch of times, either on the island or out here in New York.
You know, it kind of felt like, yeah, they'll be all right, you know? And that definitely hurt. I know that I wasn't alone. I knew that I wasn't alone in that feeling, you know? And you know, in my heart, I was just like, we got to do something. Something's got to be done. You know, I don't have a million followers or anything like that, but I had enough to feel like we can make something happen. You know, I was going to tap into the heartstrings of other Boricuas that felt like this. And, you know, it was a 1 day or 2 day turnaround where I put out a call to action on my social media. And I was just like, yo, I need all my Puerto Ricans, all the Boricuas to show up with your pride, with your flags, you know, with your excellence. We're gonna walk Third Avenue and we're going to serve as the spirit of, you know, the festival and the parade this year in El Barrio, you know. And it was, thank God it was well received. You know, I think that Saturday, I think there was about 20 to 25 people that showed up, you know, initially. They were like, you know, to come and support. And I knew that I had to create a video for this moment. And it turned into like 20 to 25 people. Then by the end, it was like over 100 people, you know, that saw and felt what we were doing and was like, I got to walk with them.
Yeah, shout out to my cousin's mom, man. Yeah. My cousin Ralphie, my cousin Juliana, you know what I mean?
Like, she's in the video.
Yeah, yeah, she's in the video.
She's the one I'm dancing salsa with.
Yeah, hell yeah. I was like, well, it's lit, that, you know?
Yeah, let me tell you, that was beautiful, you know, because that was evidence that the people wanted this. Yeah. You know, we're used to, I live right there in 111 and 3rd, and so I live in the festival. I've, you know, seen the festival pretty much my whole life, for the most part. And so to not have that energy there, you know, to not have our celebration, our time, you know, it was like, nah, you know, it felt quiet, it felt empty. So here we come and we're, you know, parading down the Third Ave. And, you know, I was making sure that we weren't going to be in the way, though. We got to make, you know, it's not about being in the way, you know. So I had the cops let us rock because they could see that I was running from to the front and then running to the back, making sure that everybody was staying on this line of the street, not putting no one in harm's way,
yeah,
not trying to, you know, create too much traffic, right? And then just going with the flow, you know, more and more people joined. I started with one car. My boy pulled up, you know, with his loudspeakers, right, so we could hear the music. And we ended up with like 7 or 8 cars behind us. You know, what's that to be driving in your day and just like, wait, what's going on here? Now I'm joining these motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? Like, however long they walking, I'm following, you know? Yeah. And, you know, we didn't even have a route. We didn't know where we were. It was just like in the moment. Like, yo, you know what? We turning left here. Let's go 116. Boom. We made, forget it. We started dancing outside. Let's go. We going down Park. Nah, we're going to go this way. And then, you know, we came around and ultimately ended the whole thing on my block, you know, which that kind of was almost intentional because I wanted to bring it full circle. You know, but also I live on Young Lords Way, you know, and if you know anything about the Young Lords, you know, they did a lot for the people, especially in East Harlem, El Barrio.
Yeah, definitely. We've spoken about them on the podcast before, for sure. Yeah.
You know, so it was almost like, you know, paying homage to their energy, to them, to be like, you know, we're not going to just stand by and let them step on us. You know what I mean? But it was a different angle, right? My angle is all about unity and love and celebrating ourselves. It's not to say, you know, to have that other energy on the other side of the spectrum where it's like, you know, F y'all and, you know, like, that's not really going to get us nowhere.
It was coming from a place of love, not a place of disdain.
Exactly.
If you will.
You know, it wasn't outrage. It was just love and unity. And I have the video on my Instagram still. And you could see the cops, you know, there's a moment even in there, the cops were like, you know, they put their hands up, like, and it was like almost symbolism to see the cop. He was raising his hands up for us, but it was like, you know, the energy, they surrendered to us because it was just love. You know, there was no anybody in their face like, blaming the cop that has nothing to do with the decisions that are made. You know what I mean? Yeah. Which we see a lot of. And it just turned into this beautiful thing, you know, that now it's growing and growing. You know, last year I was able to create the second annual Boricua Excellence. I ended up calling it the Boricua Excellence Parade. And so then last year we, you know, I was like, I have to continue this thing. You know, this world makes you feel like you can't create something new. You know, these new traditions, these new representations for ourselves. You know, we're so stuck onto, you know, what it was and what happened, you know, and we feel like that's the only thing it could be, you know. And that definitely attributes to the Puerto Rican weekend, right? We can call it the Puerto Rican weekend because we got 365 days a year, but it's only one weekend where they make us feel like that's the only weekend we could celebrate ourselves.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I started to think about this and I was like, you know, the next year came. Wait, before I even go to that, another detail I wanted to add for that first one, this is when I really knew that there was something there, because in the middle of that parade, as I'm trying to orchestrate everybody, make sure everyone's safe and the cops aren't trying to, like, you know, start messing with us, there was this older gentleman who came up to me and, you know, he's like, hey, Papa, I want to thank you for doing this. And I'm like, of course, like, this is for you. This is for us, for the people. You know, he's like, yeah, no, but, you know, next year I'm not going to be here. And I was like, well, you know, I plan to do this again. So come back. He's like, no. I'm not going to be here next year. You just gave me my last Puerto Rican parade experience. And that hit me like, forget it, right in the chest. I was like, yo, bro, chill. Trying to make me cry in the middle of this parade, bro. You know what I mean? And it was just that feeling like, whoa, this touched him that deep, you know? And then like 2 weeks later, I'm just walking to the store to go buy some leche or something.
Yeah.
And this homeless man, you know, that we know, you know, from the neighborhood, he recognized me, you know? He's like sitting there, you know, doing his thing. And then he sees me walk by. He's like, you. It's like, yo, that guy, the one that did the people parade, man, I love that, bro. And you know, he gave all that love.
Love
and,
it, you know?
You know, right? And it was like, whoa.
I love that about East Harlem. There's like the neighborhood, you know, homeless hobo guy, you know?
Yeah, like everybody know him, you know? You see him around.
He's like the Oracle, bro. I swear to God, I feel like that's a guardian angel. I don't even think it's like the homeless guy.
Yo, you never know, man. I'm going to bring that back full circle for last year now, because now moving into the second year, I was like, I got to continue this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't feel like this is a one-off thing. You know, in El Barrio, East Harlem specifically, you know, we only get the Puerto Rican festival, you know? And I was like, that's not enough.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, you know what? I feel like I got something and we can create this together and build this as a community and now create this new tradition, right? And almost kick off the Puerto Rican weekend.
Yes.
I do my thing the week before the festival and the parade in the city, right? Because then the second year, as I was like organizing and putting this together, you know, I was getting kickback and a little bit of resistance from people. And they were like, wait, what?
Are you talking like the community people that are in charge of the situation?
No.
Because I'm sure you got to clear that through the community boards and, you know, the precincts, the 25th, you know what I mean? In the area, like, you know, how does that work? Like,
right.
The politics behind
it. Yeah. So I had to now learn about that, you know, because, you know, I was raised, my dad like instilled it in me to believe that or understand that if you're going to do something, then you might as well do it right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's definitely a part of me, you know, especially in trying to create this new tradition, trying to do this thing. I don't want to feel like a rogue entity, you know, because then that has negative connotations. And now that, you know, that puts a different kind of target on me, you know, you know, more and more people, I started getting more insight and advice from people like, yo, that was cool what you did last year. You know, it was like spur of the moment. It was super in the heart. But to continue that, you have to, you know, work with the community board. You got to work with the police stations around. And because, you know, okay, 100 people, you know, that was cute. But now as this grows, you get 1,000 people.
Yeah. I mean, it could be 300,000 people by next year. It's not impossible, bro.
I'm not limiting this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
This is going to grow. Mm-hmm. This is not about me. I know that one day, you know, if I can do this right, then, you know, this thing is going to just be a functioning thing with its own committee, right? And have people that are now...
Board of directors and things of that nature.
You know, there's people now that are... As soon as it's over, they are working on the next one, right? Or maybe we're already 2 years in advance.
Exactly.
You know, so I had to inform myself. You know, I had to start reading. I had to start going to people. And I went, I started going to the community affairs officers in the precinct that I need to, right? Because there's jurisdiction and whatnot, there's zones. And, you know, this is, again, a place of love and just you know, so pure in that way where, you know, the community affairs people... They welcomed me. You know, they were like, cool. Oh, yeah, we saw what you did. We remember that. And they were like, oh, you're doing it again. Okay, cool. Well, here's the steps you got to make so that it's official, you know?
And they were really endearing when it came to that
situation. Yeah, because look, at the end of the
day. That's awesome, man. Good for them.
Yo, they were Latino. Like, yeah. I think they were Dominican, Puerto Rican.
Yeah,
Mexican.
They enjoy it too. I mean, it's a nice day for them too.
Right. Not all of them, but even the non-Latinos, right, were like, I love this, you know, because this isn't, again, this wasn't an angle of like, F the police.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. They're a part of the community, whether you like it or not.
And that's what people don't understand about that festival. You know, yes, you know, the culture of Puerto Rico was being celebrated, but within our cultures, we have several races. And, you know, we have, you know, African-American, you know, African, Afro-Latinos, you would call, you know what I mean? And we embrace, you know, not only the Puerto Rican side, but the fact that we're so multi-rational. I mean, multiracial within our culture, and that 100%. and we embrace other types of Latinos and other people coming and celebrating with us on that day and celebrating the music and sharing their musical experiences as well. It's a big deal within, you know, the not only the Puerto Rican community, but within the community of East Harlem and the community of Latinos throughout the city.
Right.
That's why, like, not having that weekend for me was terrible. I felt like a fear of missing out. I didn't feel right about that.
Right.
I was a little ticked off about that, especially when other situations were going on. You know what I'm saying?
100%. And so thankfully everything, you know, I checked as many boxes as I could check, especially on my own. You know, now I'm trying to build, you know, a little bit smarter and with people, like I said, with a team where not all these responsibilities are on me, because it's not like...
It's a big deal.
You know,
man,
I'm just sitting at home waiting for something to happen and I put the cape on to go, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm working on other things in my life too, you know? Mm-hmm. So it is heavy work, but somebody's got to do it, you know? And I got the second video for the second annual Boricua Excellence. And in this one, you can see that we got the cops walking with us. We have escorts that are stopping the cars before we get to the block, that are blocking us, that are on the side, making sure that cars aren't, you know, running into us, you know? And it was amazing, you know? And so now heading into to the third annual Boricua Excellence, you know, this year, you know, just trying to continuously make it better and better. How do we focus on making this, you know, bigger for us, you know? And so this year I'm trying to make it so that we can walk the parade right into a landing zone, whether it's a block party or it's a park somewhere in El Barrio, where now we got a DJ and we got games and we got all types of stuff where we can now continue that energy of celebrating ourselves, you know, on that day, you know, and again, kicking off the Puerto Rican weekend, as we call it.
I love that. And will it be taking place like on a Friday?
Well,
night, Saturday morning? Like, what do you think?
So I'm trying to make it so that it's always the first Saturday of June.
Okay.
Right. And it's like, you know,
so the week before, because so by the way, everyone, the Puerto Rican weekend is the second weekend in June.
Right. Right. And also just adding to the culture of El Barrio, you know, there's a lot of history, you know, historically for Puerto Ricans, East Harlem, El Barrio is major. You
know, it's a hub.
You know, there's a lot of history out there, you know, and that this is a whole another conversation where our history is scattered. Right. And you can find articles that say, well, the first and earliest settlements of Puerto Ricans in New York was in Red Hook, Brooklyn, or here in El Barrio of Manhattan, East Harlem. And so, again, when you think about East Harlem and the history, right, there's a lot we could talk about, especially the Young Lords. And so, you know, you look around and there's a parade in the Bronx. There's a parade in Brooklyn. There's a parade on 5th, but there ain't no parade in El Barrio.
Let's be honest with you. I think there should be one there.
And so here we, you know, this is.
Well, let me know how that, I can brother. Get involved with that, because that's always been a dream of mine. You know, I felt like throughout the years, like the musical aspect right. of the Puerto Rican Day festival in general, right. the one-on-one 16th, you know what I'm saying?
The 116th festival. Shout out to those people. I love them.
But I feel like there should be more.
There should be.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like, yo, let's get talent out there. You're not saying that there's right. not talent, but let's people know. Let's get there right. at 9 o'clock and you're seeing shows right. all day long. It's not like walking around just consuming and buying things, right. you know, right. trying to get right. like an on the low pina colada so you can get turned up. Like, you know, let's have these right. amazing talents out there on display. Why right. can't we do that?
One of the other things I definitely want to add, you know, before we move on in topic is that, you know, it's also about preserving our culture, right?
Exactly.
And our history.
Exactly.
You know, Boricua excellence ultimately then grew in my mind and became Latino excellence, right? Because I understand and recognize that every single Latino community, nation, country needs this level of empowerment, this level of unity, right? I don't think there's a single country we can point at and go, yeah, they got all this stuff together. You know, no, you know, every fragment under this umbrella needs to be healed.
And there's too much divisiveness within the Latino community.
Too much competitiveness
that really doesn't need to be there. I'm sorry.
And that's not by accident. That's by design.
Yeah, it's by design. For
right?
sure.
They
yeah.
want to make sure that it's us versus us, because then they don't got to get in the battlefield for that. Right. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, los boricuas, no, los cubanos, no, los mexicanos, no, los dominicanos. Right. Uh-huh. We're constantly doing this thing. Yeah. And the only time Latinos really, really come together is when we're at like a big concert of somebody that we all love and they go, ¿Dónde están los Latinos? Then we're like, and then we go outside of that and we don't mess with each other.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And I think that's a problem, you know?
I think it's a big problem,
you know, a lot of the issues and oppression that Latinos deal with is because of that, you know? And so for me, it was like, well, how could I convince the rest of the Latinos of the world that we should come together if I can't even get my boricuas together? Got to get home right first. And there's a lot we can say about that, you know what I mean? Because from the islanders to the diaspora Ricans, there's a lot of problems, you know? It's definitely us versus us. You know, when people talk about the Puerto Rican government, which is laughable to me, because I'm like, that's not Puerto Rican government. You understand how that was created, right? That was United States government, and then they put in Puerto Rican politicians to keep this thing, this well-oiled thing going, right? This corruption. So there is no Puerto Rican government. You know, this is just a cookie cutter thing.
Yeah, we're marionetas, as they say. You know what I mean? They're all puppets. You know what I'm saying?
And so, you know, but then that's a whole other podcast episode.
Yeah, no, definitely. I actually interviewed La Bruja. We went into like at least 30.
I love
Caridad La Bruja. Yeah, you know what I mean?
She is Boricua excellence.
Yeah, for sure.
Boricua excellence.
She just won an Emmy, by the way.
I know. Congratulations to La Bruja.
She's
well-deserved, you know, if not, you know, first of many. You know what I mean? And Boricua excellence, again, before we move to topic, is to say, you know, it's about giving flowers to ourselves. You know, Latino excellence, Boricua excellence, you know, this in my mind was a page from Black excellence, right? And not to dive too much into that, but to give it a little context, you know, what was Black excellence, not to be confused with Black Lives Matter, it was Black people giving flowers to Black people because they felt no one else was going to do it.
Exactly.
Right? And it was buy Black, build Black.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and we supported that as Latinos,
because
we are people of color, right, and so they were unapologetic about that, you know, and it was beautiful. It is beautiful, right, and we can see as a result of this movement, which was just love, self love, you know, there's now Black Hollywood in Atlanta.
Yes,
there's Black billionaires everywhere.
Shout out to Tyler Perry, killing the game.
I love that you mentioned him. You know, there's, you know, you go to any social media.
One of my heroes, man. He's one of my heroes.
Yeah, no, he's under the radar. It's like,
because he doesn't care. He does his own thing, man. He lives in his own world.
And I completely recognize Tyler Perry as being such a pivotal a part of the success of that, because here's a Tyler Perry in a world where, you know, there's a Will Smith, a Denzel, a Eddie Murphy. I mean, the list goes on, right? But Tyler Perry's like, well, I may not be of the same status, right, as some of these other guys, but I got enough money to buy this land, build those studios, and only make Black movies for Black people, whether you like it or not.
Well, I heard him say in an interview he doesn't care about winning Oscars because that's not his demographic.
Well, and There you go. So for me, it was like, that's amazing. How do Latinos get to that?
Facts.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we'll be back for another episode diving into that.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. You know, stop getting our shows canceled. Our shows need to resonate more. I think we need to work harder.
But again, you know, because you brought that up, it's always us versus us.
Yes.
Right? They got, you know, and you know, not to name drop or anything, but, you know, those stories usually aren't created and told by us. Right? Like, you know, so then they it's these other people trying to tell our stories, and then they expect us to resonate with these things that aren't coming from us.
No.
Right? And then, you know, I digress.
It's all right, brother. Yeah, you know what? Let's move on. We're going to continue the conversation.
We'll have, I love you.
Behind the scenes, you know what I mean? Thank you for pulling up, bro.
Course, and by,
also
a
former, I mean, a Beaver, an alumnus of City College right here. We graduated in the same year. You already know, 2012, baby, CCNY. All right, so we're going to move on to how do you go about choosing your music when you're dropping social media situations? You know what I mean? Because you had a major, you know, you have a nice social media presence, man.
I definitely, you know, am grateful for that. That happened by accident. You know, I didn't, you know, it wasn't my thing to do social media, to be a part of that culture. I kind of just got caught up in it, you know. You know, we graduated 2012, you know, from CCNY. And so, you know, if we start the line at 2010, when I started my training for theater, you know, I can say now I've been doing this for 13 years, right? And this is way before social media was a thing. I think the closest thing was like, you know, Facebook.
Yeah.
But nobody was thinking about viral videos, right? The closest thing to that was just getting a shit ton of views on YouTube, which I used to do that in college. I you know, had videos going 50 to 100K with this crew that I was working with on YouTube in college. And so then as social media came out and I was working on my craft, working on, you know, having my journey, you know, I kind of fell into it because, you know, of our mutual friend, Ken Starrs. You know, I saw that.
Shout out to him. He's doing major things, man.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, I hope he's doing good. But, you know, we grew up on the same block. I mean, we're still on the same block.
Yeah.
you know, we know each other since super young. And then, you know, as life happens, we kind of just went on our own paths. And then it kind of came back together because at this point I had already graduated. I have self-taught myself how to shoot. Everything, photography, video. I taught myself how to edit. I taught myself how to set up light. I taught myself how to do audio, right? Editing. I mean, I had to be this complete...
A one-man band, as I like to call it.
Right. You know what I mean? It was like, how do I understand all of these things? And all these things attribute to how good of an actor I'm going to be. Because it definitely adds up to my awareness. You know, like, oh, I know that camera. Oh, I know what that number means and what those things mean. I know what this. I know I can't be talking over here because that's not where the sound is at,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Or too far back. Like, it needs to be, like, that awareness.
Yeah.
You know, you almost can't teach that. You have to just learn it. And so, anyway, you know, I saw that he started on social media, Instagram. He had, like, a bunch of videos. And, you know, I saw him doing this thing. And I think at the time, he only had, like, 15K, you know? And so I hit him up and I was like, yo, bro, you know, I'm glad to see you doing your thing. You know, with Instagram and the comedy videos, I was like, yo, I can help. You know what I mean? Like, I understand this thing, you know, maybe on a deeper level, right? Because that's the thing with social media. Like, a lot of those people, you know, none of them really had some training for this level of creativity.
No, it's a Wild Wild West.
It was like, yo, I got this phone and I can just record me and, yo, bro, slap me or, you know, whatever it was. And, you know, it's like a, you know, a straight on shot. There's no cuts. There's no angles. There's no, you know, understanding of where music should come in and how it should fade out, right? And all these other things. But I knew that. So I was like, yo, I could help you, you know, amplify and even, you know, transcend what you're doing. And so, you know.
And I love that because, you know, East Harlem gets a bad rap in Harlem in general.
Right.
Where people not wanting to work with each other, that know each other from the same place. It's like, I'm already past you, bro. I don't have time for you. So, and I'm like, yo, it's not like that. It's the energy of the human being. You know what I'm saying?
100%, my brother. You know, we, again, that's by design for us to be at each other's throats, right? Not to get too into this, but, you know, look at that clip that went viral with George Lopez on that podcast, right? Mm. And you know, not going too deep into that, but that's what we had to face. That's what we're facing, right? And I think what no one is saying is that George Lopez isn't alone in that. There's a lot of them, you know, from that generation, from that era, that this is the mentality. And so I think it's just now that, you know, unfortunately, it had to be George Lopez to kind of like take that hit, you know, but it's not just George Lopez, yo.
Nope.
There's a bunch, you know, and so I, you know, in my energy, in my spirit, in my heart, I knew that I needed to combat that. And the only way to really do that is to do that work, right? Is to be that podcast. I don't know his name right now. Forgive me. But he's like, look, I can't preach this and not practice that.
Yeah.
Right. Like, let me mention this kid's name. Let me bring him up. Let me put him on the table. You know what I mean? And so for me, you know, we can only be better if we come together.
Yeah.
And so I was like, yo, Ken, come on, let's do this thing and forget about it. We hit the ground running, you know what I mean? And
you guys, I mean, you guys are awesome, man.
I told him, you know, I was like, yo, bro, these are the things that a lot of these other, they weren't even called influencers at the time.
No,
right?
They weren't. We just there called was no
them
word
like,
for it, yeah.
We just called them like IG comedians. Like, yo, there's no other IG comedians doing this, right? Like, I'm going to, every hosting you got, I'm going to show with my camera, like your camera guy. Right? Because that's going to bring that allure up, right? We're so visual beings. Everything is aesthetically, right? And understanding that psychology was crucial. So
it really
like,
is.
You know, hold up. This motherfucker's showing up with the lights and this motherfucker got the right? Like, it was like, whoa. And all of that, you know, I was like, you know, we would sit down and, you know, cultivate all these ideas, right? Because he'd bring ideas and then I would bring ideas and then it turned into what it turned into, you know? And that was kind of like that beautiful synergy at that point. And I didn't care to do any videos, you know? It wasn't until, you know, a little bit of time and we had did a bunch of collabs with other IG entities and they were like, yo, Mark, like, why aren't you doing videos, right? Yeah. Because they could see how this thing was functioning. They could see me, so to speak, direct this thing, like, all right, okay, cool. Here's the idea. My mind, you know, because of my mechanical engineering background, it's all in equations. So this comedy, this joke, this film is all in equations, right? So in order for that best result, we need these setups. You understand? And so it was
that's how math works. One, you know, 1 + 1 = 2. You know, there's a sequential order of things that add to this, like you said, synergy.
Many ways to get to 10.
Yeah, exactly.
Many ways to get to 10, right? So how do we want to get to 10 though? Is the trick. And so, you know, it was like, yo, nah, this, or it's about the prop, or it's about this angle, right? Because every angle gives different information, right? And the normal casual viewer doesn't even know that, but they're still processing it the way it's understood. You know, if I come at you with an angle down here, I'm making you smaller. Angle up here, it's the superhero shot, right? If I get a dirty shot, put this in, somebody's watching you. Yeah. You understand? And the list goes on and on.
Yeah.
And so people started to recognize, you know, what I was bringing to the table and was like, yo, you could do this. And I, in my head, I'm like, I know, I used to do this on YouTube back in college. Like, but I didn't care to be the social media person because I was already working on my, I was still doing my plays all over the city. Okay. I was still doing all my films. I still got on TV like in 2014, 15 when I was focused on that. And then, I was like, maybe I should. Let's just have fun with it. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I remember I had like maybe 2,000 or 3,000 followers at the time. And it's nerve-wracking. You know, you go and you create something, you put that video out, and you're like, oh shit, are they gonna like it?
Yeah.
Is it funny? Is it good? Is it gonna resonate with people? Is it gonna hit, right? Is it gonna hit? Because viral wasn't the word yet.
Yeah, is it gonna hit?
Wow, you know what I mean? And so boom, some of them started hitting. I think one of my earliest videos back when I had hair, it did like 500,000 plus, and I only had like 3,000 followers, you know, but we had, me and this girl, we tapped into something, into this community, and it went viral, especially in the Latino community, and blah, 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 blah. And so then it just kind of started to grow, you know, and I'm not gonna lie to you, it is addicting, you know. You start to put out those videos and they start to hit and people start to love it, and now you want to do more. You're like, oh man, like, this thing feels great, you know. And and so that's essentially how it became, you know. It wasn't even a conscious choice. Like, yeah, I'm gonna be this social media.
But people
thing.
Are doing really well that came from your camp, man. Like, you know, Sasha Mercy, the Nasty Black Rose, you know what I mean? They're like in Hollywood right now. Like, you guys were putting in major work that was resonating with people across the nation.
Shout out to all of them, you know. D Nasty and Sasha Mercy, I wouldn't necessarily say came from
well, I mean, y'all guys collaborated camp, together.
Definitely collaborated. I went to high school with Sasha Mercy, so I know her from a long time. And so I'm super, super happy and proud of the work she's doing and that she's put in. D Nasty, Black Rose, I mean, all of them. Anybody that I've collabed with, it was all intentional. It was conscious, right? Because, you know, I used to get hit up a lot from people in my DM, like, yo, I want to work with you. I want to work with you. Yo, how do I get in a skit? Yo, I'll be in the background. You know, and it's like, you know, my response would always be like, okay, you know, thank you, cool. But like, is this what you're trying to do? Is this what you do? Or does it look like just fun and you just want to be a part of the fun? Because then I don't got time for that. Right? Like,
So there was a level of seriousness that people that don't understand, because it's a funny skit, whatever the case may be. Like, people don't understand what's really the intention.
Right. I mean, at least
situation.
On my side, I create, there's a process. Okay. You know, you have to be about this. You know what I mean? You can't just see the fun. Everybody just wants the fun. No one understands the work. Right? And so it's like, you know, that was my filter process. Like, oh, let me look at your stuff. Let me see it. What are you doing? Are you really trying to do this thing? Or do you just see how much fun it looks and you just want to be a part of the fun, which I get it, but I don't have time for that. Because now I don't have time to now teach you all these things, right? There was this thing, this train already moving. So you kind of almost had to have your own train, or at least a car or a fucking horse that you could ride next to and catch you. You know what I'm saying? Like, let me see you try to get on this motherfucking train. You know what I mean? Because if not, then I'm sorry. You're just going to have to be the viewer for now. And I would tell them, like, look, just start. You know, because my thing is not to put anybody down.
Yeah.
I only want to encourage and inspire people.
You're not trying to be a come mierda. Because people look at you like, oh, this guy's a come mierda. No, like, you know what I mean?
There's a lot of them. Yeah. I'm not going to, you know, just know that, you know, unfortunately, the majority of them are come mierdas. You know, this thing, no one's immune to ego. Right? And how we facilitate that ego inside of ourselves is conscious work. And many people don't do that conscious work to make sure they're staying grounded, they're staying humble, and staying a person.
Oh,
right?
Wow,
because now I'm viral. Now I got whatever number, I got a K, I got a blue check, whatever it is. Now I'm above something. You know, it's like,
oh my God. Well, real quick.
I'm like, chill out. Hold on. There's a Chihuahua somewhere with a blue check and a million. So like, chill, bro. Just chill.
But real quick. Now that you mentioned, I just want to plug the sponsors in, because we're talking about being humble. We're talking about keeping your energy positive.
Salud.
Whether tú sabes, you're blowing up, just keeping that same, you know, even keel mentality. So Attitude on 10, your place to do that. You know, follow our resident crystal healer. You know what I'm saying? AttitudeOn10.com, your place to start getting over your trauma and build resilience. And OTW Threads is the gear right here reminding you to be out of this world. No, but continue on that, brother. You know what I'm saying? Because that is very important, man. Because, you know, the belief within our system, and you could read that as soon as you come onto our website, 100%. We're building a community that supports artists and artistic expression.
Right.
And but that, you know, we have a positive, we're trying to maintain a positive aura.
Right.
We can have discussions where we don't agree. I don't even call them like arguments. Discussions where we don't agree, but we're doing it on a love-based level. You know what I mean? Not to incite some kind of anger. Because, you know, this whole world right now is built on that kind of economy.
Well,
and I'm not really trying to get with that wave. You know what I'm saying? We're not
of
about
course,
that life right
of
now.
Of course. And it's too easy to fall into that these days.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you see a lot of those people winning is when they go that route. Right? Just still touching on the social media, you know, there's, you know, I think we're at a place where I think we need to determine genres of social media influencers, right? Or different type of content creators, right? We can look at film and go, well, there's horrors, there's comedies, there's sci-fi, there's rom-com, right? We don't have that in the social media world yet. Everybody's kind of like
the Wild Wild West together. Which is great, though, because you can develop those things.
Right, there's two sides of the blade always, right? And so while it could be good, I think it does a disservice to those then that have a different process than someone else, right? Like, you know, I don't knock anybody hustle. You get it how you get it, you know? But for me, right, like, we have the shock value content creators, mm-hmm. right? These are the ones that want to go out into the world and, you know, they just gonna throw themselves on somebody's table, or they're gonna go on the train and
like
do
the jackass
crazy.
Types. You know what I'm
right.
saying?
Mm-hmm. Right. There's the those people, you know, and that usually is what we see every day, right? And more people wanna become that thing. They wanna go and do whatever on the train tracks or, you know, in the middle of the street, right? And I've carefully been a part of those kind of content, because that's not my kind of content. You know, I don't really believe in that. All the way. I understand why it works, right? Because as human beings, we love drama. We want to see reactions. right? And that's all that is just to say, yo, watch me do this prank on this person, you know, and look how funny it's going to be or not funny it's going to be, right? But it doesn't matter. It's just a shock value. Not considering this person's world, right? Like, this person's probably going through a whole shitstorm in life because we all go living in a shitstorm in life. And here comes this person for their fucking views, wants to come and disturb me and in my space, disturb my aura.
Crossing your boundaries, for views.
You know, there's no consideration there for me. And so, again, not knocking anybody's hustle, but that's not my flow. You know, anytime I've done something like that, there's still a purpose in there. I think that, you know, I did like one video where we were on the train and, you know, it was the guy. And it's crazy how life happens, because the idea was that he was going to be sitting on the train and I was going to be like telling him like, yo, you don't see this old lady? Like, give her a seat, you know, do the gentleman thing. You know, that I resonate with. I literally do that on the train. I don't even sit on the train. I don't take trains that much, y'all. But when I would take a train, you know, I would save a seat and kind of wait for an old lady or pregnant or a kid or somebody that I felt needed the chair. I saved it for them. That's just me, though. So this video was around that. So we created a little bit of a ruckus on the train for that message. That I can get by, you know. But, you know, then we did a... You know, shout out to my brother Ferris. We did this whole thing in Times Square where it was like Jenga, like giant Jenga. And the blocks were like all the way up here. And so people could just come and join in and pull the Jenga blocks, right? We're creating a moment in public, but it's not, it's a different type of moment, you know, where it's not as disturbing. Yeah. You know, I remember just to maybe put a period on, at the end of this, you know, there was like a video I saw and... you know, I know some of the people in that video, but they did like a fake fight outside of this restaurant. And then they all ran into the restaurant like, he's got a gun. And everybody just got up, knocking over their food, the drinks. They ran to the back of the store because they thought it was real. And can you imagine being in there? And then they go, it was just a video. And you're like, what? You know, like, now if they retaliate and jump on you motherfuckers, they're wrong.
Yeah,
you understand? Word. There's no consideration, you know, and they only care about their views. And so, you know, I think there has to be, going back to the point of all of this, where we need to determine the type of social media influencers or content creators, right? So that we can put these things in place, right? We have food content creators, people that they're chefs, right? They're teaching. Mm-hmm. We got fitness people, right? And then people like myself.
Beauty, you know, all those. Yeah, exactly.
Where it feels a little bit more produced, right? There's an actual arc. Even in 30 seconds, 15 seconds, I would consider this arc from beginning to end. Is there a beginning, a middle, and an end to this? So there's just, you know, different things like that. And so, but it's all, you know, under one umbrella right now. I think we're getting to that. You know, but I think it takes people starting to say this thing for everyone to kind of understand what I'm saying or what's being said and go, yeah, you know, I'm definitely not a content creator like that content creator, right? And set those boundaries for ourselves instead of just kind of trying to always be a part of this new wave or whatever, right? Because even TikTok, right, we could dive into that. I'm not a part of the TikTok wave. You know, I couldn't get with that format, you know, how they create. And it's just like, you know, at first it was all these like dancing videos, right? Like, wasn't my flow. That's not my thing.
Yeah, you couldn't find your voice within there.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you know,
okay,
I was like,
I don't mess with TikTok like that either.
I'm like,
you
know, but TikTok is the biggest thing right now.
Yeah, no, it's great. And I want to, you know, but I got to find my voice. I'm not just going to go out there with not knowing the purpose and the intent behind it. You feel me?
And just, I want to say, sustaining who you are, you know what I mean? Like, you know, but and we should constantly be in that search and constantly improving on who we are, right? I think we do our life a disservice when we feel like, this is it, this is who I am for the rest of my life. And it's
there's no mental maturation.
It's like, wait, what?
Have you capped?
I like to say this a lot, you know, because I think it's true where it's like, we need to understand that, you know, self-improvement should be a part of our lifestyle. You know, you are as old as you've ever been, and you're as young as you'll ever be every day, every year. So why would I'm about to be 35 in July. I've never been 35. I ain't never going to be 34 again, though. So be mindful. Keep that awareness, right? 35 is going to come with a whole other list of problems in life, just naturally. just naturally, if I got money, whatever it is, in my body, it's going to bring, oh, my knee's cranky now. Like, oh, my back. Like, what, you know what I'm saying?
35 ain't that bad, bro. But,
no, I mean, I'm not afraid because I accept those
you
things.
You work out too. I saw you boxing online. You'll
that's what I mean. You know, what I mean is like, we have to be open to staying a part of that learning curve of life and saying, you know, this is who I am. These are my morals. These are the foundation pillars of me. Mm-hmm. But as life continues, I need to continue to kind of trying to land
navigate
that,
it, yeah.
land that plane. Mm-hmm. Because if I just think I figured it out, then I'm just going to, you know, crash and, you know, ultimately crash into other people.
Well, let's talk about Latino excellence now that we're, you know, we'll crash that portion. And now we're going to talk about you. Oh, you have a point to make before we move on?
Before we move on, just to answer specifically to your question about how you choose your music. It has to resonate with you.
Copy.
You know what I mean? Anytime I you know, nowadays, you can just, it's a part of the app where you can choose the song and the section of mm-hmm. the song. I was doing that manually. Mm-hmm. You understand? When we shot our videos and did our content, it was like, we need the perfect song. You know, to support this joke or this feeling, right? Because music is emotion. It's a feeling. Mm-hmm. And so now it's a lot easier because you can just create the video and then put a song over it. You know, and I think what's important is to keep that balance of like what's trending, but what resonates with you, right? Like I'm not going to, I know there's a lot of like drill rap and all this other stuff. But to me, I don't give a damn how good the song is. If I don't resonate with it, yeah. I'm not putting it on my video.
You choose Spiritual Tony and people of that nature, you know
what
I'm saying?
Shout out to Spiritual Tony, man. Mm-hmm. I think he's a different kind of energy, a different rapper. I think we need, you know, some of what he's giving, you know, which is more of a positive, but in that same vibe that we like, right? Everyone wants to bop their hair. Everyone wants to have that thing and have that, you know, those lyrical.
I enjoy my, you know, ratchet activities.
I don't get me wrong. I'm an eclectic. I listen to all of it for the most part, you know, and I love to dance. I love to sing. So, you know, but again, it's knowing where to put things, right? Yeah. It's like coloring those spaces where the color belongs, at least for you. And so if you're you know, looking to put music, make sure it's speaking to you, right? More important than if it's like trending, right? If you're looking for a trending song, then work it reverse. Find the trending song and now create content on that, under that, in that energy, right? It doesn't make sense to like, you know, have like positive words, but then the song that I put on there is like trending, but it's like, you know, grrpa, I kill motherfuckers. And you're like, be good to people. Like, what? That doesn't add up. You know, you're using the song just because it's trending. You want to get more views. I get it. Make sure it connects.
I love that, man. I love that. Great point. I want to know why you connected with this Latino excellence situation. Let's talk about that. Because, I mean, as soon as you walked in here, everybody was like, yo, I love that. And why did you call it Latino and not Spanish? And then, you know, we got into a whole beautiful conversation. Yo, save it for the podcast.
Right.
And
we reached
that point in the podcast where it's time to speak on your brand, man. And, like, you know, the genesis of this whole situation.
You know, connecting from the Boricua Excellence Parade, you know, again, this thing is going to sound funny maybe to some and make sense to some others, where I prayed on this thing, where I was like, you know, I've been an artist now for 13 years. I make sure I'm always connected to the people. I've never let money run my life. I've never made money the bottom line for why I do anything. Now, this is good and bad. Because when you do that, you get to connect with the hearts of people. Right? But also when you do that, you might be broke. You might not have the most money because you're not focused on that being the thing for you. And, you know, unfortunately, in this world, we have to still function in the society that was built, right? Because we built this society.
Exactly.
Somebody decided that.
And we choose to be a part of it.
Right. You know? Either you choose consciously or you don't choose, it doesn't matter because it is what is, right? Yeah. No one here is taught about money. You just understand it as a part of the world as you grow up. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody someday, somehow was like, money's going to run the world. No matter where you come from, no matter what pigmentation levels you have in your skin, it doesn't matter. This green paper or whatever the currency is in the system that you're born into is the bottom line. And so, you know, like any other human being, not having that all the time is frustrating, you know, especially when you're trying to do things and make things happen. It's still all cost. And so I remember just driving through Washington Heights, actually, and I was like praying up here in my mind as I'm driving, right? And this, I'm like an autopilot driving, and I'm just like consciously in this thing. And I'm like, God, I need something where I could retain purpose, you know, and make money. And I mean, like, it was like lightning. Like, boom. And I was like, Latino excellence. Like, what? What is that? What is, you know, and I started to dive into this thing, and I was like, you know, touching on what we were speaking about earlier. It was like, we need this, you know? And again, it came from the page, you know, I pulled the page from the Black Excellence. I was like, that was a beautiful thing, you know? And again, we supported that, you know, as people of color, because what you talked about also, you know, as Latinos, especially in this country, especially in New York City, you know, for the most part, I want to say the majority of us, we had to grow up with Black people. We are Black people. You know, we come in this skin color all the way to the darkest skin color. You know, there's Latinos with blonde hair, blue and green eyes, right? But then you got the super, super dark with the nappy and the brown eyes. And, you know, so, you know, for me, I had to really, really dive and think about this, because Black excellence was beautiful in that it didn't matter where you came from, right? You could have been Ethiopian, you could be Jamaican, Haitian, you know, African-American. As long as if you have Black skin, you are Black excellence. Now, for Latinos, because we come in every skin color, right, we can't really stand on that.
Yeah, we are the race of imperialism. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy.
We can't stand on that. So I was like, but what we can stand on is, for the most part, our language and culture, right? You can point to any single Latino culture, and there's a rich culture there. Right, we all love rice and beans. We may make it differently, though.
Yeah,
you know, we do use different ingredients, different spices. Pero a little bit, arroz con habichuelas is arroz con habichuelas, yeah, right? And I don't know many Latinos are gonna put that and be like, nah, I don't want rice and beans. There are out there, but for the most part, nothing's 100%, y'all.
Yeah, word.
And the other thing I wanted to to make note of was Black excellence wasn't about, you know, being a solution to the injustices that are happening to the Black community and within the Black community, you know, but it was an attempt, you know, or the purpose was to bring them together.
Yeah.
Right.
To have pride in yourself.
To build and invest in each other. Mm-hmm. Right. And not knock on that door that wasn't made for us.
Exactly.
You understand? So I was like, how do we get to that as Latinos? You know, there's 21 nations, right? 21. And I'm learning as I'm going. Right. Because I think the thing to understand is that for the longest, again, it's been us versus us. You know, we always want to either be the Latino with the most, who's done the most, who knows the most, you know, and my angle is a little different, you know, if not a lot different, where I'm saying it's not about that at all. It's about saying, yo, Angel, what do you know? What can you do? Dope. Let's put it together now. Right. Oh, yo, what do you do? What you know? Let's put it together and continue to snowball into our own mountain, right? Where we can create our own empire here in the United States, right? We can create our own Latino Hollywood. We can create and support and invest in our own cultures. But, you know, it's difficult because I think on the global landscape of demographics, you know, Latinos suffer the most from egotism, you know? And again, not by accident, by design. And so you know, I had to really think about this thing, and I'm still thinking about this and learning our cultures and, you know, understanding our history. You know, Latino excellence is us regaining control over the narratives of our people, right?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because, real quick, because, you know, people will be like, oh, man, you're trying to segregate yourself from the rest of America. Because, you know, you're going to have the devil's advocate. I'm going to be nice and call him the devil's advocate.
Yeah,
you're going to have that person out there. A lot of them.
You know, all of it.
A lot of the conservatives, you know, for the most part, going to be like, yo, like, why, you know, like, be part of us. Like, why do we have to learn about, yeah, like, you're here. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
That's how, you know, people look at things in that
I mean,
way.
The truth is that no one, unfortunately, includes us, not even Black people, you know? And I think that's a hard conversation and a hard thing to say, right? Mm. Because Latinos, we resonate with Black people.
A lot of Black people say that a lot of Latinos. So this is my argument. Well, not an argument, but this is what I hear from a lot of the Black people that I know, that we, us as a people, don't identify with them.
I mean, and there's and
you know,
and there's a lot of cases
where
that is true.
You're right, but that's a hard conversation to have. You're right,
and now it's a tough conversation because depending on the level of your pigmentation and where you were born, or at least placed into this world,
or raised as well,
right? Mm-hmm. Raised is the culture you leaned into, right? Mm-hmm. If you were born, you know, in North Carolina as a Boricua, and you're light skinned and you got, you know, light eyes, and then chances are you leaned into white culture, right? Mm-hmm. And I hate to use that term because it's just a color, but that's what they've made it. So, and then if you're Puerto Rican and you were born here in New York City, chances are, for the most part, you leaned into black culture, right? Because we had to grow up in the projects together.
Yes.
We had to be oppressed and abused and through the struggle together,
mm-hmm.
right? 50 years of hip hop, there's the debate, right? Where was it born? How was it born? Who birthed it? Right, there's a video going around with Spike Lee talking about Puerto Ricans have a heavy hand in the birth of hip hop.
Yeah, you don't right? see too much representation of Puerto Ricans in hip hop.
But right, because after Big Pun, where we at?
Nowhere, and that lasted. We got
Pitbull, right? Yeah. I think Dave East is he Puerto Rican? He's partially Puerto Rican,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
right? But
Fabulous is like partially Dominican or something,
right?
Like that.
But are they stepping on that? Are they holding that flag? Are they waving that? I don't see them really owning that and mm-hmm. talking about that, right? Because
there seems to be a lot of resentment from Nori with the whole reggaeton situation. That's always been, you know, debatable, like
Nori,
how he really feels about it.
Right? It's because the moment you identify and wave that Latino flag, you may not be accepted in the hip-hop culture now because mm-hmm. hip-hop is black.
Yeah.
Right? But we want to thrive and survive in this thing. And so I'm going to just
We've been around forever since the birthday. You know, a lot of the break boys were
Puerto
Rican.
Come on, shout out to
know?
Crazy Legs and you the whole Puerto Rock Steady crew. I mean, we could really dive into that. Mm-hmm. Right? But you know, going back to
that's
like,
a whole
know,
another podcast.
Right. We got like two more episodes.
Yo,
so I'll be back for two more
stay
episodes.
Stay tuned for part two and three of the Puerto Rican Day weekend episode. You're going to have to do it.
but you know, go, you know, sticking, you know, coming back to Latino excellence, it was like, you know, recognizing and having the awareness for all of that mm-hmm. is good, you know. But more importantly for me, it's like, all right, well, you know, when is our time? Who's going to step up to the plate and do what Tyler Perry did for us, right? In a world where there's a J-Lo, right? With Benicio del Toro. Guillermo del Toro. I mean, we can name a lot of these Latinos that are, you know, all, even...
Mark Anthony was an actor, too. Don't get it, you know what I'm saying, in terms of you going with the actor wave. But,
right.
You know, like,
who's stepping up for us?
Mm-hmm.
You see, but what happens with us is the moment we get in the door,
it's
then
adios.
We turn our back.
Yeah.
Right? And look, I love a J-Lo in the world. Right? As a Boricua, it's just in my blood to love a J-Lo in the world. But we got to keep it 1,000. I think we have to have these hard conversations where it's like, well, you know, where's the J-Lo dance school in the Bronx? Where's the J-Lo contribution on the island? You know, and not that this is what she does, but what it feels like, and not just J-Lo, I'm just using her because she, for the longest, has been one of our biggest success.
Yeah.
Right? Like even Mark Anthony, love Mark Anthony, but J-Lo's like, oh, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because she transcended the island and Puerto Ricans on the island, and she just transcended Puerto Ricans in general,
mm-hmm.
right? This is now a global
icon
identity.
And she's a global icon as well,
right? And what it feels like to the people on the ground, at least those that are conscious and
socially conscious,
feeling mm-hmm. is like, well, her contribution is that you can say that there's a Puerto Rican this high up in the world. That's not enough.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. And I think if there's any proof and evidence of that, is a Bad Bunny to say I am the number one global artist in the world, and I'm still giving back to my people in every single way.
He's
like, I'm gonna walk with my people in those protests. I'm gonna fucking perform on a gas station in one of the most popular streets of Puerto Rico for free, right? It's those kind of givebacks. It's those kind of things as an artist that we have to speak on, give the flowers, right? And identify that and say, you know, sure, maybe those before us have paved the way and even in the weirdest way left a crack for us, right? To seep through like water. But it's not enough going forward. Right? Bad Bunny would not be as big as he is if he didn't come back to the people, right? Because then he would just be another one of those,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
right? So coming back to Latino excellence, it's about the people. You know, it's about regaining control of the narratives around our people. I feel like the general consensus in this country, the United States, is that if you're Latino, right, and you're a non-Latino thinking of this, if you're Latino, you're either Mexican or an immigrant, if not both, right? And obviously, there's nothing wrong with being Mexican or an immigrant, right? That's just a process. But we're not all Mexican. You understand? And that is true for every other demographic. It's not just white people. That goes for Black people. Again, another hard conversation and thing to say. Even Black people bunch us up and think, you know, it's just tacos for everybody. You know, the other day I was on World Star defending Bad Bunny in his snub for the album of the year, you know, and they were like, oh, just so a Black person came in my comments at me and was like, you know, oh, just enjoy your tacos. Oof. I mean, I love tacos. Oof. I love them tacos. But you understand what I'm saying.
I just didn't feel Harry Styles deserved album of the year. There was better albums than that.
I mean, that's
like I would have been happy it had been anybody else but him. I'm sorry. That was terrible.
You know, I don't listen to Harry Styles enough to know.
Yeah, I do,
but
you know what I mean?
What I'll say, just to touch on that real quick, is, you know, when a person who transcends their genre, transcends their language, and is considered in that category, mm-hmm. that in itself speaks
that it's album of the year.
Right? How it should be album of the year.
Yes.
Harry Styles, I'm not taking nothing away from his mm-hmm. talent, his work ethic, or anything. Mm-hmm. But did he really do anything different in the industry that we haven't seen before?
No, he has not.
I love Beyonce. But did she really do anything different with that album that we haven't seen before?
No.
You understand what I'm getting at? I had to debate with somebody with Adele, and I'm like, yeah. I love Adele. Yeah. But what are we talking about?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, nothing different was done from anybody on that list of nominees than what Bad Bunny did that in 2022.
It wasn't a transcendent album. None of those albums but Bad Bunny was a transcendent album.
You know, he...
In terms of like going through a global situation.
Literally transcended that, you know? But of course, they for damn sure couldn't let the Boricua get on top that way. That would have been too much.
That would have been too much.
He already broke all
these
records.
Be happy that Musical Obana is nominated in the top
which
show
is
on the
silly, which is silly. Like, if they didn't give it to Bad Bunny, then I think we need a riot at that point.
Yeah. I mean, there were some tough albums, though, there, though. Don't get it twisted.
No,
though.
There was.
I mean, that Ru Alejandro album, another fire body, by the way.
I love Alejandro,
yeah,
bro.
He's a beast, and
you know, his time... Is near, you know.
It's
keep
near.
Up the hard work,
yes,
you know.
It's near. And, you an animal.
He's another savage, you mm-hmm. know. But again, you know, on that topic, I think, you know, if it would have been a French artist that had transcended globally and been on that Grammy list, would they have given it to him?
Mm, I wonder. They do it at the Oscars
because you know
the time.
You know what they do. They call it fine art over there, but for us, it's folk art.
Yeah.
Right. So. Mm-hmm. But that's a whole other thing, right? Yeah. Right. The Latino mm-hmm. excellence is about us.
Yeah.
It's not about outwards.
Yeah.
It's about going in and investing on us. Latino excellence is about us saving us, preserving our cultures, and it's about us building us. And more importantly, it's about us teaching us our history, right? If you are born in this country, you are not being taught your history, no matter where you're from. Puerto Rican, Mexican, Dominican, Cuban, Bolivian, Uruguayan, right? You're not being taught your history. You don't know. And so, you know, how do you empower the people? How do you bring us together? You teach them the history, right? If you're a person that cares about your culture and you wave your flag proudly, you are taught your history, you are empowered, especially a Boricua, right? When I dove into the history of Puerto Rico, especially with the United States, for damn sure it empowered me. You know, it lit a flame under my ass. So I was like, hold on, these things happened? These things are still happening.
So what do you say to the conservative that's going to tell you, bro, you live in America now. Like, you all the way wilding. Like, where you think you at?
I love that you said that because the first thing I'll say is
I'm sorry, I got to, you know.
No, I love it. I love it.
You know what I'm saying?
What I need them to understand is that, you know, you were oppressed into that thinking. You understand? You were colonized into that thinking. You know, that we need to be old and traditional in this way or conservative or any of these things, you know, that is our greatest issue, right? It's not anybody else. It's really us versus us at this point. And that's why this movement, more than it is a company, is to unite us and to say, you know, we need to stop being so against each other.
Okay.
You know
what I mean? Yeah, no, I see the message.
And mm-hmm. you know, the mainstream, when they want to identify other Latino cultures, they only want to bring up the negative stuff. Puerto Ricans always got knives. Dominicans aren't loyal, or you know, Colombians got the best cocaine. Mexicans, right, according to the Trumpians, you know, are criminals.
Yeah.
You understand? And, mm-hmm. and the list goes on and on. And so Latino excellence is to say we are far
We have More. Contributed to the society as much as anyone else has contributed to the society. And we're going to show you how, because we're going to empower our own narrative.
Right. It's gotcha. To say we that. Are beyond our stereotypes. We are everything. We are excellence. And that's what this is.
And I love it, man. I love it.
Yeah, brother.
I love having real conversation here on the Angel of Words podcast. Everybody, you already know. Mark Rain is in the building. El Barrio, stand up. Spanish Harlem, stand up. Harlem, stand up. We do not call it Spaja, though. I never will.
No.
Ever in their life.
No.
The sponsors today are OTW Threads, reminding you to be out of this world, and AttitudeOn10.com, your place to start getting over your trauma and build resilience. Now, I want to talk about one more thing before we move forward, all right, to our next segment, which I love to do. I want to talk about the Dreamers House and your connection with there, because that's where we met. That was such a beautiful event. And I like to be in those spaces, you know, talking to people of different perspectives. And we met there, and I was, you know, it was a blessing. And thank you for pulling up. You know what I'm saying? You know, but discuss your connection with the Dreamers House, yeah?
Man, that all stems from, you know, my relationship with Ferris. Shout out to Ferris Will J on Instagram. You know, he's doing amazing things. And it's funny because I met Ferris years ago. He wasn't even doing content. He was still an award-winning music producer. People don't even know that of him because he doesn't put that on the surface. He doesn't even want people to know that musically he's already been successful doing that. And I remember we were there. It was like one of those showcases for either 105 or you know, Hot 97. It was like one of those artist showcases. And you know, at that time I was definitely, you know, super in the social media game, and I was going viral with the gang. And he was just, you know, coming. He was like, "Yo, what's up, bro? Like, I recognize you from thing, and you know, I love what y'all are doing." He was like, "You know, I want to get down with the content. I want to start doing more content, you know." And I was like, "Word, bro. Like, let me know. Like, you know, I'm here with the building. Like, you do this, you know, music and film, they go hand to hand. You know what I mean? They need each other, right? Because music, it could definitely stand alone, but when you add some amazing visuals to the sounds that you are hearing, it just amplifies it. And the same in reverse, right? Music ultimately drives the emotions of the film and supports that. And so it started from there. And then, like, you know, we connected on Instagram, and it just started. And then he started really doing his content. He started going viral. And so he started being very, very successful online, you know, on social media. And then, you know, he came up with Dreamers House. He was like, "Yo, I want to create this thing where, you know, I'm trying to, you know, create a content house for content creators to come together and just collab and just have this, all this positive energy."
Yeah, safe space. Know? It was such a safe space.
And I want to add to this conversation that, you know, I was, you know, doing this with Ken Starrs and the whole gang. We were all unofficially having these content house unions in my house, right? I can't tell you how many content creators been to my house. Like, a lot of these big ones they were in my house. We were shooting content, you know. And
also, Mr. Commodore was down with the whole
team. Commodore, yeah, he's from Harlem. Shout out to Commodore, man. He's doing amazing things. You know, we used to bring a lot of these people together just to chill and vibe and create content. Before content houses were a thing, because now content house is an actual thing. That's an actual thing now, which is crazy. Back then, we were doing that shit unofficially, not even understanding what we were doing. We were just bringing, you do videos, or it's all of us chill, and we either gonna come up with videos or we're just gonna chill and have a good time, you know. And for the most part, we did both. You know, but then, you know, the course of life and it continues to happen. And you know, Ferris, he had, you know, Ferris is very official. He's very professional. You know, because I think his experience in the music industry, it allowed him to navigate through the social media world in his own way, which is the magic trick of social media. Anybody trying to get into social media, you need to learn how to navigate in this world while being you. That's what's going to set you apart. You know, people are like, "Oh, I want to do videos. How do I start?" Well, first, just start, but also find what your niche is, right? Like what's going to be your thing, right? And I always love to point to like, a Chicklet and Milani, right? Shout out to them. I met Chicklet when he had like less than 70,000 followers, which is crazy. And because now he's like all the way up. And, you know, if you go to the beginning of when they started blowing up, they found their thing, right? They do the couple thing. They were like, this is what relates to the people. We're just going to be, you know, this couple, and we're going to do couple things. And they have their format, right? And I love and hate this about social media, though, at the same time, because then it almost starts to feel like a one-trick pony, right? Like, okay, the moment you don't do those couple things, what's going to happen, right? And you see that a lot, right? Like, to throw Ken's name into the mix, because we brought him up, you know, when I was working with him, right? This was very evident in those videos, right? Anytime he did a content, you know, outside of maybe the Pops videos, it didn't hit as much. People only want to see that thing they discovered you for. You understand? And so discovering what that is the trick. That's the journey. What's going to be my thing? What's going to be, is it the, you know, I have another friend, shout out to Sammy Solo. He does the Boricua words, right? Where he's like, you know, he'll break up the word.
Yeah, I love it. It's funny. He
breaks up the word. And he's like, you know, this is how the actual word is said, but this is how Boricua say it, right? And like, that's his thing. That's what he's known for.
That guy? He's hilarious.
Yeah, we got a video together. Check it out on my page.
I bet.
We did one together where it's like the New Eurekan. He's trying to explain to me. Mm-hmm. He's trying to break down a word for me. And then I say it how New Eurekans would say it. You know what I mean?
Cool.
And it did pretty well. It did pretty well. And so that's the thing. You got to, what's going to be your thing? And then how you stick to that, right, is going to, and how you evolve that is going to be the other thing.
How you evolve is critical.
Mm-hmm. Because that only has a lifespan.
Mm-hmm. There's a cap on that.
That has a lifespan. Because then, you know, you see it a lot. You do that 100 times and now people are like, okay, I get it, right? You have those diehard fans that are always going to like it. But some others are like, all right, well, what else? This is getting boring. This is redundant. I already know the ending. Right. And some people, they continue to evolve. They start to find, you know, new content for them. And then when that one content hits for them, you see that now that becomes their new thing. Right. Because now that's what people are following them for. And so constantly in the evolution of it all. And it's a wild, wild west, like you said, because it's this new space in the entertainment industry that's still finding its corner. Right, we can look at music in the entertainment industry. We can determine and define that. We can look at the acting and the filmmaking, determine that. You know, social media is across all of them. The music, the acting, right? On TikTok, there's record labels that literally have TikTokers on contract because when their new artist or their old artist drops a song, they put it out through the TikTokers. Shit is crazy. The TikToks are like, oh, cool. Let me just now do this, like, do my thing on TikTok.
It's important, man.
It's a part of the industry. Now, it hasn't settled, though. It hasn't became, you know, again, we have to determine that. We have to become aware and go, this is social media, and this is this genre, this type of content creator, you know? And so, you know, I kind of, you know, opened up too many tabs from, like, the first question of what you asked me. But that's the game, yo. And it's that's coming from me who doesn't have, again, the biggest numbers, you understand? But understanding the entertainment industry.
But you are a person that was at the core of this development.
Right.
You know, in the New York City scene.
At least in New York.
You know
sure.
what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, nobody can deny that. Nobody's going to be like, yo, Mark Rain is capping on the AOW podcast.
No.
You're going to be like, yo, because, I mean, your facts seem rather accurate to me,
right,
my good man.
Right. No, I mean, you know? And just touching a bit on that, you know, even when, you know, when the gang was solid and, you know, I was working with Ken Starrs Heavy, you know, having that consciousness of yourself is important because Ken would be like, you see, Mark, your biggest videos is when you got a girl on there and, you know, they're showing flesh and da-da-da-da, you know? And I'm like, I get it, but that's not
me. You know, that was my mentality when I first started this podcast. And that man right there, Star Trek, shout out to my co-producer, the damn voice of reason.
There you go.
He was telling me, yo, bro, be who you was when we first started doing music.
Right.
When we this because we started doing right. music. He was like, yo, bro, stay like that, bro.
Shout
like,
out to you, bro. Because that's important.
I mean? You know what I mean? He's like, yo, because, you know, it's about branding yourself globally.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. And not being pinned down to
you
a certain...
You will be pinned. I mean, look, I'll keep it a buck with you. A lot of the people that went with what works put themselves in a box that now they can't transcend out of, right? And here's the thing. You could get as many videos, as many views as you want. Are you getting paid? Are you getting money, though? Right? You got 2 million views in the video. $0 came from that video. Why? Because you're using music that you can't use because it's copyright. Right? Or you're not getting major franchise deals because they can't fuck with the content that you're creating. Sure, the culos and the tetas and all that shit gonna get you the views, but no
like that
major
Puerto Rican puppet too. I'm like, yo, bro. Like,
shout out to Puppelito.
Yeah, you know him too.
Yeah,
like,
shout out to Puppelito,
I would like
man.
To get him on, but I'm like, damn, bro.
You, I'll hit him up because
I'm like,
I'll
I don't know if you
want to
have
do.
A conversation about your you know you're a little yeah, homophobic, but listen, bro. You, like I'm you, sorry. Like,
the pateria, like you said.
I'm like, damn, I don't know if I can get you on you here.
See,
yeah.
But you see what happens.
But you feel me? Yeah.
Like, he has great content. He has his own community.
Yeah.
He's very funny.
Yeah, he's making chicken. Yeah.
But you gotta know
himself.
And be conscious of what you're creating and doing because it will
put you in a box.
Wow. And then now all of a sudden, you can't get the, you won't see Papelito on a, maybe on a, and I'm not gonna put this on him, but, you know, because I want the best for him.
Yeah, me
you
too, know, but, man. That's why I want to have a conversation with
and
him.
And all of them. But certain brands cannot even talk to you.
Word.
Because of, you know, how vulgar or how disrespectful or whatever that energy is. You understand? When you want to touch big commercial money, you have to be mindful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the end of the day, where that's where my mind was. I'm like, look, I told Ken, I was like, look, I understand, bro. But you understand, like, I need to have my own flow. I need to have my own content. You understand? Because why would anybody follow me and you if we're making the same kind of videos? If people want that vulgar and that sexy and that whatever, they could go to your page for that. They don't need to come to my page for that. You know what I'm saying? You come to my page when you want to see a little bit more of a production. I'm going to have angles. I'm going to have editing. I'm going to have lights. I'm going to have all types of stuff in my joint where it feels like you're watching a little mini movie. Right? That's what I want my videos to look like. That's what I want my viewers and my audience to expect from me. Right? Now, I have adult humor on my page where I'm touching on themes and topics of sex and whatever, whatever, but it's all very carefully placed in there, but so that it's not the thing of the video, it's just a part of the video, right? The thing in the video should be the joke. If it's a comedy
punchline,
thing,
yeah,
it fact. Should be the joke. It shouldn't be who I got in it and what they look like. That only has to, again, the equation, that's just a variable to get to the 100. That's not the 100. And for some people it is, you know? And so, you know, standing on your truth, standing on who you are is the most important thing. You know what I mean?
That was deep, man.
Yeah,
I really appreciate you, you know, elaborating on that. But your relationship is cool. You guys are great. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I
went to high school with him. I'm not, you know what I mean? Like, no, just because, like, you know, I don't want people to be like, yo, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
he's trying to dig.
I'm
he trying
capping.
To dig.
Yeah.
He's digging. He's trying to get the good stuff.
Well, no. I just want to make sure.
He's trying to get more good
because,
stuff.
Because, you know, like, you know, we have a mutual friend. You know, him and I have a mutual friend who we cared about deeply. He passed away recently and stuff like that.
Oh,
that
man.
Was the last time
my
I seen him. And I wish,
brother.
You know, I wish everybody well. And I want everybody to do well, but I don't want people to be like, yo, Angel be capping on the podcast that, yo, you know, I'm not going to say we were friends growing up. Like, we knew each other from the neighborhood. You
no,
know what I'm
I mean, look, especially when it comes to me, man, I'm always going to give you the real.
Yeah.
You know, I ain't never afraid to stand on my truth.
Okay.
Anytime, anywhere, any place.
Got
you
it.
Know, but being aware and being conscious of how I'm moving, how I'm talking, you know, it's a big deal for me. You know, I think it's everything. And, you know, A lot of the social media, the scene and the people that I affiliated with before, I'm not affiliated with anymore, you know? And unfortunately, that includes Ken. For our own reasons, right? We're not going to dive into the personal details, you know? But ultimately, I had to see my trajectory in my life and in my journey and in my professionalism where I want to be, right? Because you will get sucked into the social media game. But I didn't start this journey to be in the social media game. I didn't put all this work, right? Internal work and external work into this universe to now be deduced just to a social media influencer or a content creator. No. You know, I'm an artist. I'm a complete artist. I've been doing this way before any of them even thought about picking up a phone and doing something funny, right? To go viral. And so in my life, I had to back up and see what was going on, because you got to be careful how the world's going to discover you. Because then they want to put that roof over you. They want to put you in that box. And so I started to see that the world was starting to recognize me and be like, you know, oh, Mark Rain, the IG comedian. Whoa. Don't put me in that bunch. You understand? Because we're not determining, again, the differences between these people. Everyone's just together, you know? And it's like, no. I didn't work this hard, you know, and put in this much work to not just be recognized as just this thing. Because let me tell you something. In my journey, the goal has always been to be at the highest level of this art form, right? You're going to see me on the big screens. You're going to see me on the Broadway stages, right? But I got to be conscious about how I'm moving in this world in that. Because now if I let the world discover me as just some IG comedian or some social media content creator, that absolutely puts a box over my head.
Yeah, because right? There's a stigma attached to it.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because now, is Christopher Nolan, is Martin Scorsese, are they looking for their next lead from an IG comedian? Absolutely not. You understand? And there's nothing wrong with being an IG comedian or a social media influencer or a content creator, but you got to know what you want for you. Right? If that's what they want, that's what they're after, more
power to you. And you don't want that
you.
For yourself? And yes,
No.
All right.
You know, for me, I'm like a Latino Will Smith.
Okay.
Right? This is where the two pillars of inspiration for me is a Will Smith and a Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
Leonardo DiCaprio, I feel like, was born with this talent. Whereas Will Smith, he was born with the talent, but he had to work on his acting talent.
Yeah, he's like Ronaldo and, you know, Messi. You know what I mean?
Right, like in the some people, game. Right? These are two examples of people that are like, completely, like Leonardo's been great since day one.
Yeah. So he's just
Will Smith. If you read his book,
yeah.
He had to put a lot of work in to get to the A-list actor status, right? Because musically, he was already killing the game, right? But in the acting realm of space, he had to know, I got to put this work in.
No, it was hard for him to go from being that person in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air to now being a major motion picture, especially in that era where he was growing to 90s.
So,
you know what I mean?
You have to pay attention to the steps that you're taking, right? And here are two A-list global stars, right?
Icons.
And so for me, I recognized what was happening and I was like, I really need to pull back heavy on this thing and focus on why I started this. Because you will get lost into the social media world. It's such a slippery slope where I found myself distracted, you know, thinking about skits or this or that. And I'm like, whoa, what? What's my union status? Where's my agent? Where's my manager? Where's my credits on TV? Right? Let me focus on that. That's what I really care about.
And you have IMDb.
You know what I'm saying?
If I'm not mistaken.
I got a shit ton of IMDb credits. You know what I'm saying? Because again, I never stopped doing that work. Never. Not once did I put that to the side to do social media. It was all happening at the same time. Right? But one thing that I've learned and I'm still learning even better is that the more intentional you get with your decisions in your life, the more specific those rewards and outcomes the universe will give. Right? So in the last like 5-6 months, I cut off a lot of people. If you go to my page right now, you ain't going to see a skit that I've dropped in months. I haven't dropped a skit in months. Because I was like, hold on, Mark, what's going on? I'm not going to let the world tell me what I am again.
Yeah.
Right?
Latino actor controlling your own narrative.
Right. You know, it was like, wait. You know, if anything, because social media is a part of the world, because I've already dabbled in that, right? What I need to make sure is that people receive me then as a Latino Will Smith, right? So to speak, to say, well, he's an A-list actor, but hey, go follow him on social media because he does cool content too, right? Nobody is looking at Will Smith and going, he's an IG comedian. He's a social media content creator. No, that man is an A-list actor. You understand? That's a superstar. But guess what? You should follow him on social media because he be doing some funny shit there too. That's how I want to function, right? But now I got to be careful. I had to pull back. And, you know, these days I'm doing more and saying less. Where, you know, I just did Blue Bloods. Shot that months ago. Nobody knew about that till 2 weeks ago. You understand? Because it's like, at this point, I needed to recognize what was going on. And I'm like, all right, let me make sure I'm now crossing my T's and dotting my I's where I want to exist.
And now you have an agent, you have all that stuff.
I have all of that because I focused my energy in those intentions. Okay. And it like this, that you, once you make those pivots in your life, the universe will conspire for you. And like literally, right? That's the manifestation that people like to talk about.
Oh man, you know, we're all about it here, man. That's
facts,
I'm telling you, man, our sponsor, that's what she delves in. Like how to, you know, visualize, how to manifest, how to, you know, remove, how to work with intentionality and remove people that may not be beneficial to your life and be unapologetic about it. Be unapologetic
That's major. Being unapologetic. Mm-hmm. And not in an asshole way.
No,
right?
No.
But this is who I am. This is what I do. Yeah. And this is where I belong.
And this is what I...
Unapologetic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's my identity. If you don't like it, then
and,
you don't
and
have to do
if
it.
If anybody doesn't get that, that's their problem. They're either gonna now stick... Yeah. with me and ride with me like I was riding with them when I was helping them do their thing, or they not. They're going to fall off and life continues, my brother. This is a hard thing that I think humans have to understand. You know, we, again, the conservative mentality, right? The traditional mentality where it's like, oh, the good times. We got to, no, listen, you again, you're as old as you've ever been. You're as young as you'll ever be, right? And that's every year, every day. I've had so many different chapters of good times in my life at this point to understand this well enough where I'm like, those were great times, right? But those times are done. I need to now intentionally move in this way. So I'm looking at these other great times that I want to manifest for me. If you don't see yourself a part of that, if I start to get any negative energy, if I start to hear all this kind of crazy stuff, I'm not only, and listen, especially if you're close to me, if you were close to me, I give you communication. Open and honest, transparent communication where I'm like, yo, bro, what's going on? Because I'm feeling this from you and I'm feeling that. Hey, girl, what's good? Where we at? Oh, word? What? Cat, the guillotine is always ready.
The guillotine. That man is not playing,
It's there because...
You're hitting him with the French 1775 style.
you know, because you can't play with your life. Because people...
You're right. You can't play with your life.
You've heard this before, and it's a reason where it's like, it's always, you know, the people closest to you that wants to like, but where you going? Why you doing that? Why you not over here chilling with us? You know, or whatever it may be. I recently stopped smoking cannabis. I got caught up in that, right? Because everybody around me, that's their thing. That's what they do, right? Everybody, you see the Cheech and Chong and the Snoop Dogs of the world, right? And you think that you can do that too. That shit works for them. What works for you? That's what's important. And I was like, yo, I'm spending all this money I don't even got on this thing. You know what I'm saying? I'm like now going to important meetings and film festivals, but I got the stink of weed on me. Right? Or I'm wearing glasses now because I'm worried niggas gonna see me like this. You know what I'm saying? And like none of that serves me. Snoop Dogg could do that. That's what he want to do. If you feel like you could do that, that's going to be on you. But be honest with yourself. Is this thing serving your life or not? Right? And that's the answer is going to be different for everybody. Right? There's like that video that went viral with Kevin Hart. He's like, I don't smoke cannabis because I am a brand. And people were like, what? What does that mean? Like, so is Snoop Dogg. Yeah. But that's Snoop Dogg's brand.
Yeah. Word.
You understand?
Yeah.
You are not... that brand. Yeah. If you want to make yourself into that brand, that's different.
Yeah.
Right? But in my life, I had to be real with myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Mark, as much as you love this thing, because don't get me wrong, I loved it. You know what I mean? This thing was a part of my everyday. You know, I had to be real and recognize where this was actually holding me back. You know, and I was like, man, you know, you're spending too much on it. You're spending too much time on it. I started to feel dependent on it, right? No one really wants to talk about cannabis in the space of addiction. Nobody. Nobody wants to, right? Because there goes that ego. What do you mean? I'm not addicted. This doesn't do nothing to my life. Da, 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 right? Because I used to say that. I'm like, yo, when you understand that this thing can't, when you understand that this thing can't kill you, right? Can't kill you, then what's wrong with it? Right?
Oh
well,
my God.
What's really wrong?
Bro, you're preaching to the choir.
I know, brother, but
bro,
you know, it's just in my life, this is
no,
real.
No, I feel you though. Like the way you're speaking to me is how I spoke to myself like 12 years ago when I quit, because I was like, yo, bro, like I'm hungry, happy, sleepy all the time. Like I'm not getting nothing done. You know what I'm saying? I gotta get this money. I'm wilding.
And to add to that, because again, it's always a spectrum of things,
mm-hmm.
right? It's never just one thing, right?
Yeah.
For it may work for someone else.
Yeah, yeah.
It may not work for you.
Yeah, facts.
You know, in my life, it was great when it was great. And then I started to realize that it's not so great so more, yeah. right? And, you know, maybe I'll come back to it later on, right? But I'm going to do it different.
Yeah.
You know? Right? I'll come back and maybe I just need one or two little and
yeah. Yeah.
You know? And I don't need the 10 blunts, the backwoods all day, right? So you got to listen to your body, man. Listen to your body,
man.
Know what you want in your life. And that's going to guide you, you know, I think the best.
I bet. Well, Mark, we've reached the point in the podcast where it's time to play Five Words with
Let's
Angel.
Get it. Let's get it.
All right, now, Five Words with Angel is sponsored by OTW Threads, reminding you to be out of this world, and attitudeon10.com, your place to get over your trauma and build resilience. Now, Mark, on Five Words with Angel, I'm going to give you a word, a phrase, or a question. You're going to give me the first word that comes to your head.
Oh,
are you ready?
Man.
Here we go. The first word, well, these are all basically all going to be questions. The first question is, what's your favorite Puerto Rican dish?
Oh, my God. One word?
Yeah. Well, then you just tell us the dish. Yeah, yeah.
My
it
favorite.
It could be multiple words.
It is a word that maybe not everybody uses. It's in my family, we call it un fricassé.
Ooh.
Which is, it's you know, chicken stew, right?
Okay.
How do you say that now? I only call it fricassé, but what would be the actual Spanish?
Fricassé. It's a word.
Guisao. Sí, pollo guisao. Exacto. Okay.
No, because fricassé is a thing. It's like a French thing.
That's favorite, but we call it fricassé.
Okay, so pollo guisao.
Sí.
All right, that's what's up. All right, the next word is, what's your favorite Puerto Rican music icon? Tu favorito músico de Puerto Rico. Ting, 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 ting.
There's so many, man.
Who's your favorite?
You know, but I gotta give it to Mark Anthony. You
All
know?
Right, me too, man. I have to choose on the spot, gun to my head. That'd be Mark.
Gotta go.
He's my guy.
It's so influential, I think, to everybody, everything.
That guy, you know what I'm saying? Hector Lavoe's up there. I know you're going to
say Hector
something.
Right, Hector Lavoe, of course.
But, you know, I was born in the Mark Anthony era. You know what I'm saying?
But I only say Mark Anthony because I completely understand that Hector Lavoe had to be influential, inspirational for Mark Anthony. Mm-hmm. But Mark Anthony, I think, transcended the music of salsa mm-hmm. globally
mm-hmm.
with his voice and his sound.
Exactly.
And, you know, when we think about, you know, the sound, we kind of go to La Preciosa, right? Which wasn't even written by Mark Anthony.
No,
but his
all.
Voice, again, transcended that song.
God,
you know,
it makes me cry every day, every time I hear it. All right, the next one is, who's your favorite Puerto Rican boxer?
Oh, man.
Come on, B. Say the truth. No cap over here, bro.
This is tough. I gotta give this answer to who brought me the most memories.
Okay.
And I gotta say Tito Trinidad.
Yeah, mine's too. He's right there. You know, he's in the building. Tito's right. Those are my four favorite boxers ever.
And I love Miguel Cotto. You know, Hector Camacho from El Barrio. Also,
yeah,
you already
of course,
know.
Man.
And we can keep going. You
Hall
know,
of Famer, Serrano, Hall of Famer.
Just, but Tito Trinidad, I think he. You know, there was just an era. I remember we used to have boxing nights and just those Tito,
man.
Right? Like it was crazy. It was crazy.
And you know, the thing about Miguel, he never got that big major win. When Tito beat De La Hoya, that was transcendent. Miguel don't got to win that large.
That was like two mountains colliding,
bro,
at the time.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you'll never know. If you were there, you were there.
Yo, facts.
You have a favorite skit. What's your favorite skit you've ever done?
Oh, man, that's a good one. Because I love all my babies. A favorite skit. Ooh, that's good. You know, because I got skits with my nephew. I got skits that had really high views. Dang, that's... this is a good one. My brain was not ready for that.
You can pass, bro. It's all right. You can say all of them.
You know, we're gonna go with an answer, even though there's so many.
All right.
Man, there's so many. Jeez. You know, the skits with my nephew hit different for me personally because it's putting him in that space to feel inspired and influential, right? Like, I want him to grow up one day. Like, man, I did this with my uncle, and the video was great. And so I got this video where we recreated the opening scene of Dennis the Menace.
I love that. The one with Walter Matthau?
You know, like, in the beginning of Dennis the Menace, I don't know if you remember, it opens up with the tricycle, and he's got all the cans following. Yeah. Well, I recreated that scene with him where, like, it's instead of a tricycle, it's a car driving, and at the back of the car, we have, like, a PlayStation remote, and we got all these things, like, dragging. And I shot it to make it look like he was driving the car. And instead of the tricycle, he gets off the tricycle and goes, "Hey, Mr. Wilson!" He comes out of the car and is like, "Othello Rain!"
I love that, man. Yeah, that's man. What's up. All right, and the last one, you know, one word when you think about Mark Rain.
Oh, man. These are good ones.
Well, welcome to the Angel of Words podcast.
I was not ready for that. One word?
Yeah, you get used to it. I'll give you
two. I want to say, if I had to say one word, I would say connected. If I could bring a second, it would be divinely connected.
Nice.
You know,
I like that. Well, Mark, before we end the podcast, look into that camera. Give, you know, some words of inspiration to any person that wants to be an artist out there. A thespian, as we like to call it.
You know, the thespian is the initial term for actor, you know. And I did that consciously because, again, in the world of social media, these days, you know, we're living in a culture where everything is so diluted. You know, people can go and do 100 push-ups and they want to call themselves a bodybuilder, you know, and that's just an analogy for everything, right? Anybody could be a DJ, anybody could be an actor, anybody could be a rapper, right? Because all you got to do is just get in front of the mic and do these things, you know, put the phone up and now you're a content creator. You know, you go viral a few times, all of a sudden you're an actor. They have no idea the choices and how deep, you know, you have to think consciously to be an actor. You know, everyone's like, "Oh, an actor is just memorizing lines," or it's pretending. It's a whole other podcast. And so that's why thespian, you know, it separates those that know and those that don't know, right? And, you know, anybody jumping into this art or wants to be an artist of any form, what I love to say is, if you treat anything like art, then it'll be the best it could be, right? If you make tables, treat your making tables like art and you will make the best tables. So make sure you're treating whatever you want to do like art and you're going to be great.
Well, man, Mark, I appreciate you hopping on.
My brother.
Puerto Rico loves you, man. You're a great representation of what we do in East Harlem. I don't care what nobody says. There's gentlemen like you out there that I've had the pleasure of meeting throughout my life that make things happen, not just the big celebrities that come out of East Harlem, right. you know, like my guy Tito and Mark Anthony. Right. But, you know, there's good people out there. There's good people out there doing good work. And I really thank you. And I'm appreciative that you came on and spoke to us about your passions and everything that you've gone through. Well, you know, not everything,
thank
but the things that
we
spoke on to as much as we could in the time allotted. The camera battery's about to run out. But everyone, that was Mark Rain here on the podcast. Spanish Harlem Stand Up, El Barrio Stand Up, Harlem Stand Up. You know what time it is. Tap on that subscribe button. Follow us on Spotify and all podcast platforms. Look, the training videos are coming out on how to make a dope podcast in just one day. That's a free training I'm giving to my people so you can get your voice out there. You know what I mean? And also, do what you got to do, man, in terms of, like, you know, expressing yourself. So that's going to be at www.aowent.com. In order, you know, it's how to do it for free. But, you know, I also have training modules coming out. So if you want to get into that, we have all the instruments you need, the tools you need to actually get in there and go ham with your production in the description to get those, you know, those social media, like the microphone right here, the Rode, the cameras that we use, the Sonys, and even the stuff we used prior before we beefed up a little bit. You know, that was budget friendly because it's all about being budget friendly because, you know, we don't know what's happening in your life. So we're trying to make it happen for you either for free, medium income, high income, whatever it is, we got it out there. So, you know, click in the descriptions, links below. And everyone, the sponsors, OTW Threats, thank you, Be Out of This World, and AttitudeOn10.com, your place to get over your trauma and build resilience. Thank you for tuning in, everyone. Te quiero, Puerto Rico. Santa Isabel.
Love y'all.